France is a country of contrasts. Its reputation for glamour and chic is proudly projected to the outside world. But there's also a darker underbelly. A fractious and fractured France, where the far right has moved in from the fringes and increasingly sets the national agenda, especially when it comes to Muslims.
C'est aux Français de décider qui peuple la France.
This may look like a celebration of diversity, the multicultural capital city of a nation that prides itself on the values of liberty, equality, and fraternity. But those values don't hold true for everyone. I'm Miriam Francois, and in this series, I'll take a deeper look at some of the issues dividing France and its people.
From laïcité, the separation between church and state, to France's reckoning with its colonial legacy through racism, Islamophobia, and the crackdown on basic freedoms, including the right to protest. To me, it feels like a fight over who we are as a nation and what we really stand for. It sounds almost as if laïcité today is sort of saying, actually, some religious attitudes are unacceptable.
This tendency to only find an echo chamber of our own thoughts has only been made easier.
I think the misunderstanding of laïcité is the biggest problem, actually. The fact that some public figures weaponized laïcité in order to stigmatize a part of the society.
There is a very deep breakup between the Muslims and the non-Muslims, between the young people coming from the poor suburbs and the rest of the society. The rest of the society fear these young people and has nothing to say to them.
Place de la Bastille is a key site of the French Revolution, when laïcité became a cornerstone of the French Republic. Now, at that time, it was all about keeping the Catholic Church out of state affairs. The term itself is essentially a French twist on secularism. It's enshrined in Article 1 of the Constitution, and to many people here, it's a sacred principle guaranteeing the equality of all people before the law. But these days, it tends to pop up in debates over French identity, where rather than being used to guarantee equality, some say it's being used to discriminate, especially against Muslims.
At the Grand Mosque in Ivry, on the outskirts of Paris, Imam Khalil Mirun leads afternoon prayers. Muslim religious leaders have been asked to sign up to a charter of republican values, the so-called Imam's Charter, as part of the French state's vision of an Islam for France. As the prayer hall empties, I sit down with the Imam to get his thoughts on the charter and what laïcité means to him.
Pour moi, cette laïcité est un moyen d'harmonie pour mettre tout le monde au même pied d'égalité. La laïcité, l'État ne reconnaît aucune religion et ne subventionne aucune religion, mais il assure la liberté d'exercer son culte.
Aujourd'hui, l'incarnation de la laïcité telle qu'elle est pratiquée aujourd'hui en France, est-ce une liberté pour les musulmans ?
Oui et non. Ça dépend de la personnalité de la personne qui a le pouvoir et qui la pratique. Par exemple, à Ivry, nous avons une municipalité très ouverte. Ils savent ce que c'est la liberté du culte. Ce qui fait aussi le tort que le politique, il a peur. Et ça, je vais vous le dire très franchement, ils attribuent les attentats terroristes à tous les musulmans. Depuis l'attentat du 11 septembre 2001, tous les musulmans, dans l'esprit occidental, tous les musulmans, ce sont des terroristes. Alors, ils nous font payer à nous, les musulmans, du juste milieu, pacifique, qui veulent vivre leur religion d'une manière paisible, la facture.
Vous-même, vous avez signé la charte des imams, c'est ça? Est-ce que il existe une charte équivalente pour les autres confessions?
Non.
Non.
Cette charte, elle est venue, c'est comme si les musulmans doivent prouver qu'ils sont pacifiques. J'avais même pas besoin de signer cette charte. Je l'ai signée, bien sûr, je suis signataire.
Vous êtes d'accord,
vous? Bien sûr, il n'y a pas de problème. Si la France veut qu'on signe n'importe quoi, on peut le signer, à condition qu'elle ne grignote pas sur nos droits spirituels. Mmh. Il y a certains Français, ils veulent qu'on soit musulmans à leur image. Ben non. Moi, je suis musulman comme les textes de Dieu, le Coran et la parole du prophète veulent que je sois.
Pourquoi la question, par exemple, du voile, du port du voile, même à l'extérieur, semble être tellement contestée alors que c'est du domaine privé? Enfin, une femme qui porte le voile dans la rue, une femme qui porte le voile à l'université. Il y a certaines femmes en France qui ne peuvent pas vivre leur foi telle qu'elles le veulent au nom de la laïcité. Apparemment, il y a des interdictions. Est-ce que l'islam est en contradiction, du coup, avec la laïcité?
Je vous ai dit que la laïcité garantit la liberté.
Elle vous garantit la liberté de pratiquer à tout le monde dans ce pays?
Pour ces femmes qui peuvent porter le foulard d'une manière libre et qu'on leur impose de l'enlever et qui ne sont pas à l'école primaire ni au collège, oui, c'est une entorse à sa liberté.
There's obviously a battle over the meaning of laïcité, the idea being to protect the state from the intrusion of the Catholic Church historically. But today, some will see it as, you know, the neutrality of the state. Some will argue that it's protection from religion. Some will say that it's about stigmatizing Muslims. Why is laïcité such a problem here in France?
I think the problem lies in the very definition of laïcité. Not laïcité itself, but I mean the Republic doesn't want a religion to get power on citizens. Religion is seen as an alienation. And Islam is seen as an alienation, not because it is Islam, but because it is religion.
I think the misunderstanding of laïcité is the biggest problem. Actually, the fact that some politicians or public figures weaponized laïcité in order to stigmatize a part of the society, saying that they are trying to get rid of the common laws and trying to have an exceptional treatment, to be treated differently, actually validating the idea that there is a problem not with laïcité, but there is a problem with Muslims as France. And I think that's quite a different question, quite a different problematic.
But Gabrielle, you're actually on the ground with young people. Schools themselves have become a political battleground in many ways around the laïcité issue. How is the laïcité discussion translating on the ground with young people?
I believe the real political conversation, the one that has to do with power, is do young people especially believe in the Republic? And what I find is the farther away France drifts away from its ideal, the harder it is for me to tell them this Republic is for you. For some people in France, when they feel like their destiny is not quite the same as others, it's harder for them to adhere to that vision, which is absolutely necessary and which teachers defend, you know, as much as possible. So I believe if there is an issue with young people and the way they see the Republic, it is a result of how France is doing as a whole, I believe, when it comes to fulfilling its promise.
And many of you will recall that last year, President Macron had brought about a new bill, the so-called separatism bill. When the law came about, it was very specifically targeting what we'll call Muslim separatism, or what President Macron referred to as Islamist separatism in that bill. Fatima, do you agree with the critics who say that that bill is just the latest example of singling out Muslims for special treatment?
Absolutely. And actually, there are people in France who maybe grew up in segregated neighborhoods. Maybe the society, the Republic failed to integrate them, and then they had to organize differently. And often what we believe is separatism is a way to self-organize in order to try to compensate the failures of the state, because they saw that the state was even targeting them and stopping them from trying to be full members of the society.
The bill itself was aimed at targeting the idea that there's some kind of extremism, that we'll talk about separatism as a form of extremism in this case. And of course, France has been the target of terrorist attacks. There's no way of, you know, ignoring the fact that that has happened here. But what's confusing for, I think, perhaps many people internationally is a bill that's suggesting, you know, stopping women wearing full-length swimsuits at the pool, or stopping women wearing headscarves accompanying their children on school outings, or, you know, what's the connection between this and sort of separatism as it is thought of as trying to combat the type of terrorism that France has been a victim of?
I think we have to remind the context. The context is what you said, a series of terrorist attacks, incredibly violent against French people. And it's not separatism. The right word is Islamism. The separatism law has not banned anything. The headscarf, you are free to wear the headscarf in France. It controls more the mosque. Mm-hmm. And I think it's better. For whom? The Muslims. And specifically, the funding of the mosques. And it tries to prevent the spreading of the Islamist ideology. And I think it's important to separate the debate and the reality of the law, because the reality of the law protects the Muslim and do not treat differently the Muslims and the rest of the French believers.
I just would like to say something about, I believe maybe you are an optimist, because when when I read the separatism bill, it was not just about reinforcing and fighting against terrorism, because we have an all legal apparatus to fight terrorism. It's directly targeting the freedom of association. And you have a lot of different Muslim associations which has been targeted and dissolved because of this law, and even before, because of the law de sécurité intérieure. You have also the freedom of religion, which has been targeting with shutdown of different mosques. You have also a lot of private Muslim religious schools were actually also shut down. Muslim coffee shops, Muslim restaurants were shut, allegedly Muslim restaurants. I mean, I can only guess. It was just like restaurants serving halal food. Even butcheries shops were actually closed down. I don't believe that terrorists were actually hiding in butcheries, in coffee shops, in restaurants. But if you implement that way of thinking of an old, in an old society, that can be very scary and frightening for Muslims and for all religion people, actually.
It does feel as if maybe the net's been cast a little wide, doesn't it, Hakim?
Yeah, probably. You know, there is a player in the field which is absent and which should be in. This is the French Muslim community. Because the French, I mean, they are looking for the Muslims. After the terrorist attacks, they said, okay, where are you guys? Are you with us or are you with them?
Is that the
and
choice?
One of the key problem, one of the key problem is that we don't have seen the Muslims. And still now,
maybe we don't see the Muslims.
We don't see the Muslims on the ground, in the mosques, on the social networks, to spread another interpretation of Islam. So it's very, very important that the French Muslims take their responsibility. They are not guilty, but they are responsible. We need this kind of promotion. We need this new Islam, this modern Islam.
I just want to talk about this idea that, you know, particularly, I guess, the idea that the wider Muslim community is responsible, I guess, for pushing back against extremism, terrorism. You know, I wonder whether that is the responsibility of the wider Muslim community, and what role, I suppose, this idea of a modern Islam plays within that.
I think it's the perfect situation in which we should just go back to the law. And the law is actually separation between churches and state. So meaning that the churches, religious, don't have the right to mingle or just to interfere in civil matters, in civil affairs. But there is also the inverse, the opposite of it, meaning that the state doesn't have the right to decide about religious matters. You also assume that there is, like we call in sociology, a negative solidarity, meaning that if any Muslim somewhere in the world does something wrong, we should be responsible and we should feel accountable for this person. But actually, it's an individual. He or she has their own reasons actually to act, and we should not be as Muslims or as women or as men feel responsible for that. For instance, the different terrorists were men. Do you actually try to put some distance and take responsibility, saying that there is an issue with toxic masculinity and we should talk about? You know, because where it does stop and where it does end.
Let me bring Gabrielle into this discussion, because certainly from the outside looking in, it's almost as if, the conversation in France is that laïcité is a barrage to terrorism. Is that how you are experiencing in the school context? Do you have students that you're concerned about their tendencies, about how conservative they are, and you think if I just teach them more about laïcité, they will become good Republican citizens? Is that the thinking here?
Look, people who kill one another, kill another, tend to be between 15 to 25. So we have an issue with young people. There's also a far-right terrorist tendency that's been happening around Europe. There's all this. Now you're asking me, is laïcité enough to address the issue of extreme violence? Well, no, it's not. But what I do believe is when I hear people tell me Muslims have a right to a private education, and that's because the public system is failing, etc. and so on. Well, that's where I respectfully disagree. We need a shared experience. We need something that makes a nation a nation. Over the past 10, 15 years, this tendency to only find an echo chamber of our own thoughts has only been made easier. That's a huge issue. And of course, this has a consequence when it comes to the way young people see religion.
I wanted to ask you about this Charter of Imams, because for people outside of France, they're looking at the Charter of Imams and they're saying, hold on, France is this country that says a lot about secularism, you know, secularism is a state staying out of religious affairs. But then suddenly it's the same state creating a charter for Muslim imams, for Muslim religious leaders to sign up to. How do you square that, Hakim? How does that make sense?
It does not make sense. And frankly speaking, it's a joke. And the charter has been forgotten by all the actors. Inside the charter, there was a word against foreign influences and against Islamist organizations. And who signed the charter? For foreign-based organizations and Islamist organizations. So it did not make any sense.
Do you think that it sends a message, though, to the wider population? Because presumably it was only imams that had to sign the charter. There was no similar charter for priests or pastors or rabbis. Doesn't that sort of send its own separatism or separatist message?
Absolutely. And I think it's one of the examples in which you can see that the state does not respect the boundaries. And within the charter, I believe it's the Article 9, there is something about not being able to talk about state racism. And I think it's really interesting. Why in the Charter of Islam should we speak about the right or not to speak about a problem with structural racism, with a systemic racism? So there is something very political into that chart.
But what's confusing in listening to the debate is I think that laïcité is, or, you know, secularism in general, is almost supposed to be this tool that allows all these different religious communities to coexist without interfering with the state, and the state doesn't interfere with them. That's the point of secularism, isn't it?
Yeah, but you have to remind the security context. And for a government, for a French politician, from the right, from the left, he has to deal with security. And he has to reassure the rest of the French society. And there is an issue with certain French Muslims. And a lot of terrorist attacks has been performed by French Muslims. So, and they are,
I mean,
the confusion
still, yeah,
is made by them. That's why I call the French Muslim to say, not in my name, like in the UK. I think it's politically very important.
I think it's interesting that we don't tend to do that with any other group. You know, I'd love to see every time there was an attack on a right wing, on a mosque, you know, all the right wing organizations in society saying, you know, we don't approve of this. There's actually kind of a lot of silence around the, yeah. the number of the attacks.
15 Muslims will be shot by a right, far right activist. The policy will change.
Okay.
I'm sorry, but when you say that, you are like they are French and they are Muslims. But Muslims.
No, the Muslims are part
French,
of the French
they
society.
They are French yeah. Muslims and they were shot too
as
during
well.
The different
yeah,
attacks.
Yeah, every one of yeah. them.
They have to pay yeah. twice.
And they
did
nothing.
They have to pay the price of blood and they have to pay the price of dignity, saying that they are not the same and, as the terrorists.
And they
and
did
that
nothing
is
to
insulting.
Improve
that
their
is insulting
situation.
For the Muslim community. And I don't agree that a lot of people, a lot of Muslims, were actually said not in my name. And
no.
I do not have to. You know, like walk around because I'm Muslim myself, saying that not in my name.
I want to ask a question about the relationship between wider inequalities and the conversation on laïcité, because obviously we're talking about a country in which people of Muslim origin are already, we know, less likely to be employed, more likely to live in poorer neighborhoods, less likely to have access to good healthcare. Is laïcité functioning as an equalizer in schools, or does it risk functioning as a proxy that actually reinforces some of that stigmatization?
Well, secularism is absolutely a necessity, and it does help. It does help insofar as we understand it. Now, look, we can have a long conversation on how to address extreme violence, for instance, or separatism by saying, here's what you should not do, here's what you cannot be. So once you've said, here's what you don't get to do or what you don't get to be, now we need to have a conversation on with young people especially, here's what you should become. Not just say, you cannot be that, but help, you know, draw the face of someone they could aspire to be. And I think this is where we fail, I believe. As teachers, the Education Nationale does its best. But as a society, we're failing to do that.
Hakim, laïcité functioning as a tool that adds to pre-existing inequalities, reinforcing them, or an equalizing tool in modern France?
I would like just to remind you a figure. France is a Western country with the highest level of intermarriage between French people and specifically Muslim people. And so we are facing a French paradox. Very open, very close. And in the middle of the paradox is the idea of universalism. If you are like us, we will be open to you. If you are not like us, we will be against you. You know, the French restricted conception of universalism. But if you are like us, we will marry you. So laïcité is also a way to be more open.
Yeah, I believe that Muslims can marry other Muslims and still being integrated. And French people can be open and not marry a Muslim, and that will be okay too. It's obvious that there are political and social reasons for what is happening right now and kind of the, like the conflict, I don't know how to call it, the tension spread in France. If you are poor in France, it takes six generations, not one, not three, six generations to get out of poverty. It's a lot, especially if you consider that because of historical reasons, due to immigration, Muslims are members of this disadvantaged class. And if we don't have public policies addressing that, I believe that in 10 years, we will have exactly the same debate. It's a no-go to me.
What's very apparent here in France is that everyone agrees that laïcité is a really important part of the French tradition. That much is not in question. What is in question is the substance of that term, how it's being used. Clearly, for some, laïcité provides protection from the state's intrusion into the private sphere. But ironically for others, it does exactly the opposite of that. What seems to be at stake is a struggle over what it means to be French and who gets to define it.
Je pense que chaque peuple a le droit d'avoir accès à son héritage culturel. Je suis venu récupérer mon bien, ce qui a été volé.
On se rend compte qu'il y a énormément de violences qui ont existé pendant la colonisation et qui existent encore aujourd'hui.
It's very confusing when you grow up here and you don't have this sense of belonging, and also that society keeps telling you that you don't belong.